Thank you all for joining us this evening to come together to prepare for the Bein HaMitzarim, the period that we're in, and the Velus that we're going to continue and that's going to be strengthened in a few days with Rosh Chodesh Av, and ultimately with Tisha B'Av. Normally, very often as religious Jews, we compartmentalize much of our avodah, and we put the different aspects of our avodah Hashem into different arenas. So we work on tefillah is one arena, we work on Torah, another arena. And throughout the year, we have different times where we focus on different aspects of our avodah Hashem. So it may have surprised many of you that when we discuss the area of Bein HaMitzarim, normally we're focused on Avelus. We're focused on appreciating what Beis HaMikdash was and being misabel and mourning what we no longer have. And we know, kol misabel Yerushalayim, someone who mourns properly will be zoicha v'roya b'simchasa. But tonight the focus is something somewhat different. And that is to approach the area of galus, approach the area of churban through the lens of bitachon. Two areas which sometimes we don't necessarily view as having one to do with the other. But in actuality, bitachon is an overarching theme which really is hard to find an arena in Klal Yisrael, in Machsheves Yisrael, which doesn't channel through the vehicle of bitachon. But particularly when it comes to recognizing the churban, we know that the Chazal tell us that what made Tisha B'Av such a devastating day, the first time that Tisha B'Av was chosen to be the day which in our DNA, in the calendar, Tisha B'Av is going to bring with it such terrible travesties to Klal Yisrael. What made Tisha B'Av so terrible wasn't the Churban. The Churban was the aftermath of something else. What made Tisha B'Av so terrible was the Chet HaMeraglim. The Chet HaMeraglim, Chazal tell us, occurred on Tisha B'Av. So if Chet HaMeraglim was the precursor for Tisha B'Av, so then we have to think to ourselves that ultimately the Churban, the seeds of the Churban, is really in Chet HaMeraglim. And Chet HaMeraglim had two aspects to it. Of course, we focus often on the aspect that Klal Yisrael rejected Eretz Yisrael. But the seeds of the Chet HaMeraglim already were laid well before they came back with their report. Even when they approached Moshe Rabbeinu already could sense that there's something off, there's something wrong over here. Now, what was wrong with their actual request seems to be, according to most Mefarshim, a lack of betach. They simply didn't have faith in the Rabbanu Shlom. They would rather go into the land in the regular way that one conquers a land, that a nation conquers the land, sending spies and attacking with a military attack, rather than the promise that the Rabbanu Shlom told them, I'm going to take you in, it's going to be okay. The spies, the Chet HaMeraglim, was a chisaron and bitachon at its root. And if what made Tisha B'Av into Tisha B'Av was a chisaron and bitachon, that means certainly that what we have to fix within ourselves, what we have to revisit, is our attitude towards bitachon. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says something unbelievable. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, the Gemara tells us, Ein ben David ba, ben David, Mashiach is not going to come, a startling Gemara. Ein ben David ba, ad she nisyashu min ha-geula. Until Klal Yisrael gives up from the Geula. And Rav Yaakov asks, how could it be? We don't give up from the Geula. Someone gives up from the Geula, says Mashiach's not coming, he's a kofer. He's not one of us. He's rejecting one of the Ikari Emuna. So what could it possibly be, mean? Ein ben David ba ad she nisyashu min ha-Geula. Says Rav Yaakov, what it means is that you're right. Klal Yisrael, we never give up on the Geula. But we have in our minds different ways that the Geula is going to happen. this leader is going to bring us the geula. This foreign leader is going to bring the geula. Through this regular teva dik away, the geula is going to come. Maybe if this happens and this happens in the world, so then the geula is going to happen. Says Rabbi Yaakov Achanis, Yashum in a geula. You have to give up on the geula happening in all the normal ways that you think it's going to happen. It's going to happen through this president of this country, through the prime minister of that country. Adyashinis Yashum in geula. You give up on it. You realize it's not working for us. The geula is only going to come in one way, and one way only, from the Rabbeinu Shalom. When we have that bitachon in the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's when the geula comes. So there couldn't be a more appropriate way to prepare ourselves. Hopefully this year we won't have to go through the avelus of Tisha B'Av of the 9 days. But there couldn't be a more appropriate way to prepare ourselves than working on our bitachon. Bitachon is a very difficult area of Yahadus. It's a very difficult area of Jewish life. It's probably the most important. The Vilna Gaon says that the purpose of all the other mitzvahs is to enhance our bitachon. Yet it's something which is very nebulous. It's something which is very unclear, hard to apply to our real lives. It's something that we throw around. When something bad happens, we can't change it. So we say, oh, you have to have bitachon. But bitachon is supposed to be an active exercise. A person is not just responding with bitachon. There's nothing I could do, so I'm going to have bitachon. But on the contrary, that we're building up our bitachon, we're living our lives with more and more bitachon. So we're very grateful for Reb Shaya Cohen and Priority One for the general work in Klal Yisrael that they do in the area of bitachon, educating us and guiding us how to improve our bitachon, and particularly for this event to enhance our bitachon, to enhance how our bitachon, an enhancement of our bitachon, could bring about the geula. We appreciate you sharing some divrei Torah with us. And we're very appreciative for Rabbi Shaya Levin, who also, as this community is still writhing in pain from a tremendous tragedy, he's a person who, I could tell you from many, many personal encounters I've had, people view him, look towards him, whether they know him or not, as an example, specifically in this area of bitachon. And no matter how difficult it may be for you, we appreciate the fact that you're willing to be that guide for us, you're willing to be that source of inspiration for us, and we appreciate that you're willing to come out here and share those words of inspiration for us. And Be'ezus Hashem, this evening, with all the other work that everyone's doing in our bitachon community-wide, should serve as this tremendous aliyas haneshama for your son and for the daughter, Mitzvah Hashem.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Neuberger, for your very inspiring introduction. Certainly giving us a sense of the relevance and the importance of the Midas HaBitochon in all times, and especially in times of difficulty. It's for me a unique privilege to be able to speak here together with Rabbi Levin. He is, from what I see and what I think many know, it's becoming more and more known, a true example of what the Ramban writes in Parshas Toldos. The Ramban in Parshas Toldos, where the Posuk says, Vayikach Yitzchok, Es Rivka Oyhelo Soro Vayeho Veho. Yitzchok took Rivka into his mother's tent and he loved her. Vayinochem Yitzchok Achare Imoy. And Yitzchok found consolation, found Nechoma after the loss of his mother. And the Ramban is concerned about the connection between Vayeho Veho and Vayinochem. He loved her and he found consolation. And he says he found the consolation in the loss of his mother, in the love that he gave to his new wife. That's what the Torah says, Vayeho Veho Vayinochim. Would seem to me that if anything, the real, the truest, the most on the mark consolation should have been the love that his new wife gives to him, to console him for the love, the loss of his mother's love. Yet it seems more than anything else, the greatest consolation in life is the ability to give, the ability to love, the ability to care for someone else, for others. Chesed, giving, love. That is really the source of true consolation, even from the most tragic losses. And when I think about 10K shiduchim, not five and five, right? 10K shiduchim, 10K refuah shleimus, 10K chizuk and emuna to those drifting and to those not yet drifting and to those who may not drift but that need that extra chizuk. What can be a greater act of love and caring for Klal Yisrael in such a scope, in such a dimension, that surely this is a living example of what the Ramban teaches us about the power of finding nechoma in giving. And it's truly a schus and a privilege to be able to participate together here with Rabbi Levin, with the hope and prayer that he and his family and the Kaplan family will be able to find in all of their chasodim, in all of their love, in all of their care, true nechoma for these tragic losses. Rabbi Neuberger made it very clear that bitochon and geula are not a very strange shidduch at all. They're really extremely relevant, and their relevance, as the rabbi said so eloquently, stems back from the beginning of the tzoras of the churban, which was the chet hamaraglim. But the truth of the matter is that we say every day in our tefillos, in Ahav or Abba, we ask Hashem, v'hoyereinenu b'seirosecho, v'dabik libeinu b'mitzvoisecho, v'yached levoveinu le'ahavo le'yiro eshemecho. We ask Him to elevate us to the highest levels of fear of Hashem, of love of Hashem, of clarity, of insight into Torah, passion for mitzvahs. And then we end that request with, v'sheloi nevoish le'olam voyed, that we should forever, never to be embarrassed. And the Avudrom tells us that the source of this Shaloi Neve Shaloi Lomvoid is the posuk in Tehillim Chof Hei, Elokai B'cho Botachti Alei Voisho. In other words, the Busha that we're talking about, Shaloi Nevoish, means because we have bitochon, because the hoyerei neinu b'seirosecho, the dabik libeinu b'mitzvoisecho, the yachid levoveinu la'avo liyirei shemecho, we've reached such levels of connection with the Rebbeinu shel Olam, v'leinevei shel Olam voyed, because that leads us to a strengthened bitochon, and therefore we say shleinevei shel Olam voyed, because we are now inspired with bitochon. And it even continues. Give a shame kochecho hagodol v'hanoyro botochnu, no gilo v'nismecho bishu osecho. We're actually counting that because we have found that strength of bitochon in the v'hoyereinenu, in the v'dabik libeinu, in the v'yachay levoveinu, therefore we're saying that give a shame kochecho botochnu, we should rejoice in the Yeshua. And we continue, v'avienu l'sholem, yarba kantos oris, we're talking about kibbutz golius, very clear that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, when they misader the Avo Rabba, were referring to the connection between the bitochon that we become inspired with on a daily basis, and the eventual kibbutz golius, and the Yeshua to Klal Yisrael. So the connection is very real, the connection is very potent. There are some factors, some serious factors in the Golos, which can be sources of bitochin. And that really should be our concern, our effort, our avoido in these days of Bein HaMetzorim. There's a very interesting comment from the Tosfos Rid in his Haggadah. There's a Haggadah from the Tosfos Rid, one of the great Rishonim. And in the Haggadah, on what it says in the Haggadah, we started with Terach, our ancestor, the idol worshipper. And he asked the question, he says, you know, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Well, if He didn't put us in there, He wouldn't have to take us out. Marash! What are we getting all excited about? Hallel, l'shabeach, l'foyel, l'roymeim. He put us in, He made us suffer. Shkoyach, He took us out. The Rishon asked such a question. Today, if someone would dare to ask such a question, I don't know what they would do to him. But anyway, okay? Now, so he answers as follows. He says, "Mitchila oivdei avodah zorah hayu avoseinu." We started out as oivdei avodah zorah. That means that we have in our genes the genes of Terach. And as such, we could not be privileged to receive the mitzvahs, to receive the Shabbos, to receive Maimon Har Sinai, to receive the Torah Har Sinai. We could not have earned, despite all of the schusim that we had, the ability to stand by Har Sinai and to receive all of these mitzvahs and the Torah, because there's a pagam. There's the genes of Avodah Zorah there. Therefore Hashem put us in Mitzrayim. V'chas aleinu. And He made us suffer. And He had rachmonis on us. And berachamim, He was able to grant us the greatest gifts that are shayach in all of creation, Torah and mitzvahs. We couldn't have earned it. We couldn't have deserved it, but we got it berachamim. The Rabbeinu Shlalom has what I would call sometimes entitlement programs. It's an entitlement. You didn't earn it, but you deserve it on another basis. You suffered so much. And the suffering of the Golus we have to look at as part of this essential ingredient to bring us to the Geula. The reason we thank Hashem for the Geulas Mitzrayim is because we recognize that all of that suffering that He put us through was essential to be able to grant us Geula and glory and a life and elevation and privilege that we never could have been privileged to achieve on our own merit. And when we sit in the Golus, and when we sit in Tzorah, and when we sit in pain, sometimes we can find strength, and we can find inspiration, and we can even find the ability to put our trust in Hashem, because we know that there are times that there is greatness, there is grandeur, there is achievement that He wishes to give us, that He wants to give us, that He intends to give us, but can't justify it based on our level, where we are, who we are at the present time. And He puts us through difficulty. And that difficulty creates an entitlement. And who knows, and I dare say, that the suffering of the Golus, and all of our suffering is part of the suffering of the Golus, everything stems from the Hester Ponim, the hiddenness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Golus, and all of that Golus, all of that is part of a plan that the Klal Yisroel should either rise to do tshuva and correct the chatoim of the Golus and bring about the Geula, or recognize that Hashem is trying to give us something beyond what we have been able to deserve, beyond what we have been able to correct, and therefore we put our trust in Him and say, we realize that this is all about your rachamim. We're counting on you to take us further. The Golus has another opportunity, an interesting opportunity for us to be inspired in Bitochen. The Gemara in Yuma says that originally, Moshe Rabbeinu said, HaGodol, HaGibor, VaHanuro. Three of these great praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then as time went on in history, they began to drop these praises because where is His Gvura? Look what happens to us. Look what the Goyim do to us. Where is the Neurois? No one is afraid of Hashem. Look how they attack His people. Until the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila looked at the history and said as follows. If we see the Gvura of Hashem, which means the power that He has to conquer His anger against the enemies of Klal Yisrael and allow them to continue to cause us such pain and suffering, that's the greatest inspiration to the Neurois of Hashem. Hein, hein, Neuroisov. That Klal Yisrael survives despite the fact that the world has been against us for close to the last 2,000 years. Rabbi Yankiv Emden swears by his life in the Hakdoma to his Sidur that the miracles that have allowed the survival of Klal Yisrael and the Torah together with Klal Yisrael are greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yam Suf. And when we see, look, hefkerus, they do whatever they want to us. We've been the brunt of every object and format of suffering throughout the world history in the last close to 2,000 years. And yet we survive, and our oppressors are no longer. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, I paraphrase from Mark Twain, they're all in the museums right now. They faded into stardust, into history. And Klal Yisrael continues to survive. And not only Klal Yisrael survives, but the Torah survives with Klal Yisrael. It's well known that they once asked Albert Einstein if he could meet a famous person of history, who would he like to interview? And they thought, who knows what kind of a scientist he would come up with, one of his predecessors. And he says, I would like to interview Moses. And I'd like to ask him if so long ago he believed that so many thousands of years later, his people would still be around and observing the same commandments that he taught them so many years before. This is the Neirois of Hashem, the fear of Hashem, emanates from our survival, from the ability, the freedom, the license, the hefkerus that the Umos HaOlam have to attack us. The United Nations doesn't stop. The enemies don't cease. We go from one enemy to the next. Not to mention everything that the Sultan seems to have reshus to do to us as well. And yet, we survive. And we thrive. And we rise above all of the challenges that the world attempts, and sometimes somewhat successfully, but never to eradicate, not us and not our Torah. And this truthfully is the pshat in the Neirois of Hashem. We see the awesomeness of Hashem. And the awesomeness of Hashem leads us to something else. The Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos on Rosh Hashanah, he speaks about the issue of saying Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. And he says, Hallel on Rosh Hashanah is not appropriate because Hashem is judging the world and we're going to say Hallel. And he says, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, are times of Yirov Afachad, fear. And then he says the most amazing words, Umivrach, we're so awed by that fear of Hashem that we run away from Him. Umonos Elov, right into His embrace. Fear, and the fear that we suffer in this Golus, and the sleepless nights that we have suffered throughout history, and the pain and the bloodshed that stains every page of our history, it serves as an awakening to such a fear, to such a pachad, to such a neirois of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a different sense from the previous Gemara, ad kedei kach, that it leads us to run with no place else to go into the embrace of Hashem directly. Umivrach, umonos elov. We run away from Him in fear, but we have no place to go except right into His embrace. And that brings us to ever higher levels of confidence and bitochen in Hashem, that He will in fact protect us from everything else that surrounds us and challenges us. I once heard a very beautiful moshel in the Kapitel Chof Gimel, where David HaMelech says, Shivtecho umishantecho heimo yinachamuni. He says to Hashem, your shevet is a whip, and your mishenes, that's a cane to lean on, are sources of nechoma, of consolation. And it's very obvious how a cane can be considered a source of consolation. I lean on the cane. I find strength. It gives me the strength to go. I'm leaning on this cane. But shevet? The shevet is the whip. The whip is a source of nechoma. And I once heard a beautiful moshel, a shepherd. This is Mizmor LaDavid Hashem Roi Lo Echsor. David HaMelech is talking about his shepherding of Klal Yisrael. A shepherd is taking care of his flock and they're grazing on a beautiful sunny afternoon and the sun begins to set and it's time to gather in all of his charges and he gathers them all in and he takes a head count and he's missing one little lamb. What does he do? He sets out as the sun is beginning to set, searching for that lamb, carrying his whip with him. And he's looking and looking, and the lamb realizes it's getting dark, and the night, the dark hours are dangerous for him, and he's crying there and looking for the shepherd, and the shepherd is looking for him, and all of a sudden the shepherd spots him in the distance and takes that whip and cracks him over the back. The shevet is the greatest source of nechama. The shepherd has found me. The shepherd is with me. The shepherd is still there for me. And in a very strange reversal of perspective on Jewish history, the difficulties that Klal Yisrael have gone through, which are not just enormous, but of a magnitude unparalleled and unprecedented in anything in all of the history of the universe. Yet, that we survive the way we do, can in and of itself be the greatest source of nechama, because the shepherd is obviously with us. There's no question about the shepherd's proximity. He may be behester ponim. He may be mashkiach min achaloinos, looking through the windows, metzis min acharakim, peeking through the cracks. But he's there. He's with us. And that shevet, the difficulty, can be a source of the greatest nechama. The shepherd has not forgotten us, despite the fact that we have endured and we continue to endure so much pain and so much suffering. How can we strengthen our bitochon in the golus? What can we do on a practical basis? There's a piece of advice that we actually recite every Shabbos, but the Vilna Goin and Mishle explains what these words mean. We say in Nishmas, Adheno Azorunu Rachamecho. Until now, you helped us. Rachamecha, it was your rachamim. V'loy azavunu, and you haven't forsaken us. Chasodecha, your kindness. V'al titshenu Hashem Elokeinu lonetzach, and therefore we ask of you, we beseech you, do not forsake us forever. Hashem, keep us, guard us, protect us, bring us to the final geula, and never, never forsake us. But the Goyin tweaks it a little bit, and he says as follows: Ad heino azarunu. Until now, you helped us. We're here today, after so long in golus with such trials and tribulations. It's only rachamecha, only because of your mercy. Nothing else could explain it. V'lo yazavunu, and that you haven't forsaken us despite such a long and bitter and oftentimes inappropriate actions on our part, golus, could only be chasodecha. And then the Goyin adds, lochein anachnu betuchim. Seems that he assumes that if we're asking al titshenu, there must be a certain measure of bitochen in that. Therefore, we are sure that you will never forsake us. Why? Because if what you protected us until now, you helped us until now, was because we deserved it, and if what you didn't forsake us until now was because we deserved it, how do we know we still deserve it? And if we look back in our history with the giants of Jewish history, who were also not privileged to see the Geula yet, so then we wonder, we give out, we're certainly not worthy. But when we realize that everything that Hashem has done for us throughout the Golus has been rachamim and chesed, nobody has deserved. The survival of Klal Yisrael cannot be earned. It's a gift of Hashem's chesed and rachamim. And when we realize that, lochein anachnu betuchim, that fires up within us a bitochim, that just as until now it has only been chesed verachamim, it inspires us emotionally to continue relying, trusting, counting on your chesed and rachamim, ve'al titshenu Hashem elokeinu lonetzach. So looking at the hashgocha of Klal Yisrael, looking at the nisim, the personal nisim that Hashem has done to each and every one of us, and everyone who searches, and we usually don't have to search far, can find Hashgocha Protis in a magnificent measurement in his own or her own personal life. And looking at all of the Hashgocha that has allowed the survival of Klal Yisrael throughout the Golus, we can't help but being inspired. We didn't deserve it. It's all chesed and rachamim. And paying attention to Hashem's chesed and rachamim that has brought us to this day is a surefire way. The Goyim says, Lochein anachnu betuchim she'al techeinu lanetzach. That is the basis for which we are sure, we're positive you will never forsake us. The Klal Yisrael will never cease to exist. The Geula will in fact come. Because we look back at the past and inspire ourselves with this bitochin based on the fact that everything Hashem did was chesed v'rachamim. We heard from Rabbi Neuberger about the underlying problem of the Meraglim before they actually entered Eretz Yisrael, and certainly when they came back, was beyond just the Loshon Hara, which was because of that there was Nigzar, a Bechia Shel Chinom that they did to assure that there'll be a Bechia L'Doyros, that the future crying of Klal Yisrael specifically on that date was decreed on that occasion. But underlying it all was a weakness, ever so slight. They were giants, they were Nesiim, the Nesiim that went in, they were the greatest of the great, but on some level, they were lacking in some measure, kifi, their greatness, in the Midas HaBitochin. And of course, that's what happened. But it's very interesting to note that, and the Sipurno explains that whole parsha, but the Sipurno in Tilim, on the Lechun Aranino, when one of the strangest psukim says, Arboim shono okut bedor, I fought 40 years with this generation. Vo'imar, Hashem is speaking, Am toye levov heim. They're people of hearts that have led them astray. They're toye levov. Veheim lo yodu derochoi. They didn't know my ways. They didn't know my ways. Do you know what Chazal called the generation of the Midbar? The Dor Deo. Did you ever hear such talk? The Dor Deo did not lo yodu derochoi. Give out. What's going on there? So the Sipurno explains in Tilim, very interesting. He says that what they were lacking was an extra measure of his boinoness, bemoifsim sichliim shel haTorah, in the brilliant, in the logical miracles, moifsim, the wonders, the intellectual wonders of the Torah, and that was lacking, and because of that, that was the cause, and that's why they're called Dor Lo Yodu Derochoi. Now this was the Dor Deah. They stood at Har Sinai. They knew, they reached the Memtes Sharei Chochma. But they could have gone more. There was certain depth of Mevsim Sichliim of the Torah that they could have achieved. They could have studied more, they could have studied deeper, they could have delved more into the secrets of understanding the depths of the love and the sensitivity and the caring and the midas and the integrity and the yashrus and the patience and the loving kindness and all of the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are expressed in miraculous, in wondrous ways in the depths of the Mishpatei HaTorah. And they didn't. Something was lacking. And because of that, they were called Lo Yodu Derochoi. And that was the source, the underlying source, in their inability to achieve the fullest level of Bitochon. Had they studied even beyond the Moifsei HaTorah, they would have even reached a higher level of Bitochon. And in case you might think that this is only a message to the Dor Deah who stood by Har Sinai and had everything else going for them, but to us, really, this is not relevant because a little more Mifsei HaTorah, what's that going to do for us? This Sipurnu fears ois at the end, he concludes and he says, we shouldn't make the same mistake. We, those who live in Golus, should not make the same mistake, and we should know that the depths of the Mifsei HaTorah will elevate us to a level that we, in fact, will be redeemed from the Golus. And by the connection of these two Sipurnus and the Posuk, that's Arboim Shono Okut Bedor, we see very clearly that the chesaron in bitochon that they had was connected with this lack on their level of delving to the mefse haTorah, and therefore for us, to whatever extent that we can further delve and understand and appreciate and reach that depth of understanding in the mefse haTorah, we too will be zeicha to a greater bitochon and literally influence the coming of the Geula. And if you wonder about the power of the Mefse HaTorah, I just refer you to Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Voeschanan, where the Torah says, the Klal Yisrael says to, where the Pasuk says, Ki hi chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ho'amim, that this is your wisdom in the eyes of the nation. Asher yishmu neskol achukim o'elu. When they'll hear all of these chukim, they'll say, Rak am navim v'chochom agoy l'agod l'azeh. This generation, this nation, they're brilliant. And if the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, the chukim? Chukim are what they laugh at. The chukim, we just learned Parshas Chukas recently. Chukim, the maligim are the chukim. What's it, well, why? That doesn't make any sense. The goyim are going to hear the chukim, and they're going to say, Mrakam novim v'chochum, what a wise and sagacious nation. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya explains, first they'll hear the mishpotim. They'll hear the mishpatei haTorah. And they'll be so awed with the beauty, with the depth, with the mefsim sichliim of the mishpatei haTorah, they'll say, ah, Rakam novim v'chochum, only Jews can understand. It's a goyish akop kendis nitfashtein. That's not for us. We can't get that. This is only Rakam Novim V'Chochom Agoy Agod Laseh. So I think that if we wish today to deepen our own sense of Bitochin in the Geula, then not only when we say the words V'Hoy Reinenu B'Soyrosecho V'Dabik Libenu B'Mitzvaysecho V'Yachil V'Aveinu La'Avad Yerushemecho V'Loi Nevesh Lo'in Avoid, we can deepen our Bitochin in Hashem by delving with depth, with appreciation, with clarity, with amelus, with patience, into the mefsim sichliim of the Torah, to see the depths of the ways of the Torah, to see the wondrous depths and the wondrous intellectual insights and human insights and emotional insights that we find in the Torah. And this can truly be a source to grant us a much greater bitochen in Hashem. The truth is that we're constantly focused on bitochen. We say every day, "Tzemach David Avdecho Mehero Tatzmiach." We ask that David HaMelech and his descendants should arise to bring the Geula. Ki lishuoscho kivinu kol hayoyim. Because we're hoping, that's a form of bitochen, for your Yeshua all day long. All day long. That's what we're all about. We're mitzapim lishua. That's the Sfaradim add those words too. We're mitzapim lishua. This is what we do every day. And comes every Shabbos, one of the most amazing testimonies to the level of bitochin, to the level of patience, to the level of trust, to the level of awaiting for the Geula that Klal Yisrael has every single Shabbos all over the world. Mimkoimcho malkeinu sefia v'simloi choleinu, appear from your place and reign as melech above us. Why? Ki mechakim anachnu loch. We're still waiting. And we ask Hashem, Ki mechakim anachnu loch. We are waiting, and that's a schus. That waiting is a schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael is still waiting. After close to 2,000 years, they haven't given up. Give out. It's unbelievable. It's unreal. It's incomprehensible that after so long, here we are. We're adayin mechakim anachnu loch. That says so much about who we are and what we continue to feel and to remain steadfast in that bitochen. And I would like to just conclude with a Gemara, famous Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says that the Geula is going to come in three stages. And those three stages, the Gemara says, are reflected in the order of the brochos in the Shmon Esrei. The first is the Birchas Hashonim. After lying desolate for so many years, close to 2,000, Eretz Yisrael will start to flourish. 150 years ago, you couldn't find a rotten onion in the shuk in Yerushalayim. And today, you got to watch out for Trumas and Maestras by the fruits and vegetables that you buy in the stores here, because they import, or Israel exports to all over the world. We have so many of our products here that are from there. So Birchas Hashonim has happened. The Geula has begun, or at least the Golus is ending. The second stage, Kibbutz Golus. We have been privileged in our lifetimes to see the beginning of the Kibbutz Golus. Yeah, we're still here. There are multitudes of Jews that are still here, but the Kibbutz Golus that has happened from all over the world is an amazing phenomenon. It's something that's mind-boggling. So many people from all over. And each time we hear of a new influx of Olim, it's the most amazing thing. Kibbutz Golus is in progress. But we await one more stage. And that stage is the Hoshiva Shoifteinu Kivorishoino V'yoyatzeinu Kivatchila V'hoser Mimenu Yogoin V'anocha. We await that the Shefteinu, the judges, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, should be restored to the level of early generations. Shefteinu Kivorishoino V'yoyatzeinu, those that give etzes, that give us advice how to live our lives, Kivatchila, should be elevated to the levels of the early generations, the times when we had Nevi'im, the times when we had a leadership that was divinely endowed in a most direct and direct contact type of a situation. And we await that. And then there will be V'hoser Mimenu Yogum V'anocha, and all of the pain and suffering, the pain that we suffer in the Golus will be removed. And I'd like to leave you with the following thought. The Novi says, it's actually, you could find it in the Haftarah in Parshas Noach. I think it's in one of the later Haftarahs in Dvorim as well, A or around there. It says, Berega kot nazavtich uvarachamim gedoyle makabtzeich. The Novi says, I have forsaken you for a rega koton, for a mere moment, and with great mercy I gather you in. And the Radak is bothered by the question. Rega koton? The Golus is long and bitter. We're not talking about a short, momentary exile. And the Radak says that when we will see the Rachmei Dishmayo, the mercy of Hashem in the Kibbutz Golus, the extent to which Hashem bestows His Rachamim on Klal Yisrael, we will be so consoled. We will be so overwhelmed with the positive love and feeling and appreciation to Hashem that in retrospect, it will appear that all of the suffering, 2,000 years of the worst suffering in the history of humanity will appear to us in retrospect as a reka koten, as a mere moment. V'choser mimenu yogoin v'anocha, not only the yogoin v'anocha of the present, not only the Yogun Vanocha of the future, but retrospectively, the Yogun Vanocha of the past. Let's hope and pray that we should be zeiche in the schus of the Midas HaBitochin that we can muster, that we can strengthen, that we should be zeiche to see the Geula b'mheira b'yomeinu, and the Kiyum of the Novi, v'choser mimenu Yogun Vanocha, and all of our suffering, personal suffering, communal suffering, national suffering, should be eradicated retroactively. I will give a krechts and say, we had a moment over there that was a little bit difficult. It should be mekuyim b'mheira b'yomeinu.
Hi, I'm Shai Levin. Thank you for your kind introduction. Seems that Myra is at 9:20, so I apologize in advance, but I don't have that much time to say what I would have wanted to say. What? I'm sorry, I said Myra, I was told, is at 9:20, so I apologize in advance. I don't have enough time to say what I wanted to say to you. But I just want to say that anything I will say is Le'ili Nishmas B'nei Ahuvi Aaron Ben Yishayo Alevi B'nei Ahuvi Yisra Ben Yishayo Alevi Kalosi Elisheva Basya Basichil Ephraim and the Shamish and our Lichtig Gan Eden and our Leah. Let me first quickly start. I'm going to talk very fast. Let me quickly start with a question, and I'll say a little maisa. The question is, Bizman is there, what would you say is the most happiest day by Kadosh Baruch Hu? So I asked this to someone recently, and he said, Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres, because I guess like Chazal say, the Rabban Shalom tells Kal Yisrael, please spend some intimate time with me. Let's have a little Suda Katana. Let's get together. It's so meaningful to me. I said, I hear. I'll get back to the answer shortly, what I feel is the answer. When Ari was nifter, my Rebbe, the Mashkiach, Rav Don Segel, came to Menachem Avil. The truth is, at that time, I didn't need any nechama from him. I just wanted to talk and reminisce about the good days that we had when he was here in America as Mashkiach. And I was from the Talmidim HaRishonim, I was privileged. As he left, he said, listen, come in to me in Borough Park with your children, your family, whoever wants to get some nechum, come in. Okay, so I went with Yisrael and Ephraim, my youngest, my two youngest. We went to the Mashkiach, and he talked to us, and he said something very, very interesting that changed my whole perspective. He asked us, you make the Berachas HaShachar every day, Sha'os Li Kol Tzarki, that you, Hashem, do for me and give me all my needs. You do what's best for me. You give me all my wants. So we all not as, of course. Everyone says, Sha'os Li Kol Tzarki. Das heist oichit kol sarchi. The Misa of Ari was also kol sarchi, is what Hashem says is good for me and what I need. Wow. If anybody, regular person, would have come to my house during Shiva and told me that, when Rav Don Segel tells you that, that's the way it is. And it opened up my head. I said, it's unbelievable. It's taka. Gave me a whole chizuk. Hashem wants me to grow. Everyone who went through the tragedy, we all have to grow from it. By Yisrael's tragedy, Hashem wants us all, and Elisheva's tragedy, Hashem wants us all to grow from it. There was a need for it. We might not have the seichel to understand Hashem's cheshbonis, but there was a need for it, and we all have to grow from it. And Baruch Hashem, from the letters that I'm getting from Klal Yisrael, all across Klal Yisrael, everyone starts off the same way. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Levin, you don't know me, I don't know you, but I just want to tell you we feel for the tragedy, and this is the Kabbalah we made. And I have a whole stack of letters here, but time doesn't allow me to share them with you. The topic, as you know, I spoke on two inyanim, by the two different Levayas. In Far Rockaway, I talked about 10K Batei Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, Bat Kfura, I spoke about Shechinta Begalusa. In both of these topics, my goal is to change the mindset of Klal Yisrael. And I just want to offer you that if anybody wants to stick around after Marv, I got all the time in the world. I'd love to talk about 10K Batei Yisrael because it's that important. But let's talk about Shechinta Begalusa a little bit. I asked the question at the Levaya, and I was marchiv on it at Shiva, that why did Hashem have to send this Zara Kumpan Pesach to Shter Pesach by Gans Kal Yisrael? It would have had the same emotional impact a week later in Chol HaMoed. I mean, after Pesach, the week after Pesach. Everyone's hearts would have been broken. It's a terrible, I can't even wrap my mind around it. I don't go there even. But it would have had the same emotional impact. So why did it have to be on Pesach? Everybody knows that there's a tremendous yachas between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. It's merumis al matzis umroirim. Matzis umroirim Tisha B'Av yachlu. There's a big kesher between. Everybody knows the first night of Pesach coincides with the first night of Tisha B'Av. when I look in the Kiddush for Tisha B'Av, the Chagav, that 10 years ago, I finally saw the light. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm sitting every year for hours on Tisha B'Av, and I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm a very honest guy. So I said, I'm going to go out to the sperm store, see what's there. And there's a beautiful art scroll version of Kinnis. So I bought it. And I can't tell you how it changed my life. Because now I was getting what I was supposed to be getting out of Tisha B'Av. Instead of, like a Tina Kabarech Mibes HaSefer, we run away from something. It's a fast and it's hard and it's hours and sitting on the floor and a couple and I don't know what I'm talking about anyhow. Now I was looking forward to Tisha B'Av because now I knew what Tisha B'Av was all about. So in that kinnis by Rabbi Reisman, the famous Chazal by Yirmiyah caught my eye. And Yirmiyah went with the Yidden out of, what you call it, on the way into Golis, and they were crying, and it was, the scene was just terrible. The Misa, the young kids, everything. And he went to console them, and then as he turned back to go, he said, I have to leave, I have to go back to Sheres HaPleito in Yerushalayim. They begged him, Yirmiyah, please, please don't leave. And Yirmiyah said, my children, I'd love to stay with you, I gotta go. But I'm gonna tell you one thing very clearly. Had you, and we all hear this on the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, all the speakers speak about this, he said, had we just cried one time with an emes, by all the nevuahs I was telling you, to do tshuva, if you would only cry one time, you wouldn't have to be crying now. What is Tisha B'Av? You ask everybody, what's Tisha B'Av? We're commemorating the Churban Habayis. Chazal on that, tremendous amount of kinnis on that. And it's poshut that the tetzov of the lack of the physical bias has so many ramifications in our life. The Yerid and Ruchnius, why there's such a hester upon him? Why we're so unsure of ourselves as Yidden? Because of that hester upon him, because there's no bias. Where do we find in the Torah the first reference to a Beis HaMikdash? Make me a migdash, a structure, a tent, where I could dwell. I'll dwell among them. That was the precursor for the physical base hamigdash made of stone. But there's another. The Hasidic masters, he just wrote a beautiful column on this, Rabbi. From your neighbor here, in the Yated, Yaakov Feitman, Rav Yaakov Feitman Shlita. And one line, okay, I don't want to get into sidetracked. There's another Pshat in Vasili Migdash Vashchanti B'Soicham. Hashem is talking to each one of us. And he's saying, make me a Migdash in your neshama, in your heart, so I can dwell in your heart. Migdash Ma'at. You got to make a base of Migdash. A hospital place, hospitable place. What's the lesson? Why don't we talk about the Shechina in Golis, the Shechina in Golis. Why don't we say Hashem is in Golis? Because the answer is, Shechanti B'Sochem means I want to dwell among you. I want to dwell, my dear B'Tachtoinim, in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the biggest source of my Hanoah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And I want to dwell in each and one of your hearts. V'Shechanti, I want to dwell there. Make it hospitable so I could dwell there. Are we making it hospitable for HaKadosh Baruch Hu so he could dwell in our hearts? Shechinta begalusa. The Rebbeinu Shalom is in Golis. We have such a impersonal Yid. I'm talking about myself. Maybe all of you are different. I'm just a very honest guy. I talk to about myself. We have such an impersonal Yiddishkeit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like the third person. Rabbi Nishalayim. Mashiach should come. I say it like this. I used to daven Shemoyne Esrei. At the end of Shemoyne Esrei, everybody knows you have a Hechetimsa, opportunity, Yidin Shema Koyleinu, Balakai Nesur, that you could make your personal bakoshes. So I used to make my bakoshes like this. Rabbi Nishalayim, please send Mashiach. And I start to think to myself, I was sitting in shiva, I said, why was I asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for send Mashiach? Please send Mashiach because when I turn on Yeshiva World News and Vos Es Nayis and I read about the Rishon Arurim, the terrorists in France, they take a Jewish lady and they throw her out of a building to a death like it's Nazi Germany, I can't recycle that. Is everybody aware of that? That that's what they do to Jews in France? They take Jewish ladies and they throw them to their deaths. I can't be silent. Like, Rabbi Nishon, send Mashiach and there'll be an end to this. Rabbi Nishon, please send Mashiach because my chaver, Moshe Gordon, Oliver Shalom now, is in the hospital and every Motzei Shabbos, a whole bunch of chaver from me, should we go into the Ezra's Nashim, we say to Tehillim, say he should be zoich to get out and enjoy life the way we enjoy life. I can't take that. It hurts me. I'm enjoying life and he's not enjoying life. Rabbi Nishon, you send Mashiach, he'll have a full shalem, nisrapo kalachoylem. Rabbi Nishalim, please send Mashiach, because this was 4 months ago, 5 months ago, because Liba and I have a 26-year-old daughter, a takshit of a girl, smart, pretty, makes money, intellectual, creative, funny, alamilis, and we're looking at each other, we can't figure out what's going on here. Why are we having a hard time doing shidduch with her? Not only why are we having, but why is my neighbor having with their daughter? Why is that neighbor having with their daughter? And why is that neighbor having with their son? And what is going on here? Why are we having these problems? I don't know. But Rabbi Hashem, we send Mashiach. Everything will be fantastic. We'll have Shidduchim and everything will be great. Baruch Hashem, she's happily married. She got married at the Shleishim with Yisrael to a wonderful boy. She's 26, he's 25. It's fantastic. Chaste Hashem, Yisbarach. So I did a little self-analysis and I said, you know why Shai 11 wants Mashiach to come? Because Shai 11 is not having a good Olam Hazeh. I'm not having a good Olam Hazeh. So Rabbi Nishon, send Mashiach, I'll have a good Olam Hazeh. Right? Is that the way I should be thinking? Should that be my motivation why Mashiach should come? But isn't that in truth why most of us are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send Mashiach? So what is the right way? The right way is, now I say Shemoneh Esrei as follows. I still ask for Mashiach, with different cheshbonos. But I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, I go, Tati, I love you. Three words. Tati, I miss you. Three words. Tati, please come home. Tati, what could I do as an individual Jew to convince you that we are not the same generation we were 1950 years ago when we chased you out of your house and so frustrated you and so upset you that you slammed the door so hard when you left that the whole house fell down. Tati, we're much better than that today. Our Torah is much better. I had Rav Aryeh Malkiel by Shiva and I said this to him. I said, the Torah today, unquestionably, is much harder than ever was in high school. How do I know that? Very simple. They never had a smartphone before Adar. They never had that type of a Yetzar to schlep a good Ben Torah away before Adar. And yet, you'll go into Darche, and you'll go into Mir Yushalayim, you'll go into BMG, you'll go into Kamenetz, and my son, 16 years old, is making a Siyum on Kedushin, and boys making Siyumim, 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 Siyumim. I told guys my age, I said, we never dreamt we could make a Siyum at that age in high school. And it's 2018, Tov Shanayin Ches, with the biggest Yetzer Hara in the world around, and Nebuch boys falling on the side, but there's this core of Bnei Torah who are learning Torah committed, solid. Yisrael used to get up every morning, 6 o'clock he's learning with this Chavrusa, 6:40 he's learning with AJ, and then he's learning at night, he's learning that. He never told us this. We found this out when people came to promise Chavrusa and when people came to Shiva. This door, there's no door like today's Torah. There's no door like today's Chesed, Tzedakah. I davened by Rabbi Landau Shul, and they give out in excess of $180,000 of Kimcha de Pischa. No such thing that a Yid and Flappish, like Shai Levin or anybody, will sit and enjoy the Seder and another Yid won't have what to put on their table. Rabbi Shemaya Landau has been mechanech a door that you have an achrayis to other Yidin when it comes to Tzedakah. They got to enjoy life too. They got to spread the word. You got to make them happy. No such thing as our door isn't the best door in Midas, Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, Shiurim of the ladies. You can't get a lady to come home and cook supper for you because she's Pneina Horus. So Oisek and Chesed and Shiurim and Sedokta and this and the MS. I'm not joking. I'm saying it's a joke, but it's true. What door ever had women doing like we're doing? In Cain. So what's the problem? We're such a fantastic door. So I gave a mashal like this. I said, if I were to go and build for my father the most beautiful mansion you ever saw, and he'd live in the mansion, and he'd have anur from the mansion, right? If I would then go and put in his driveway a Rolls Royce with a chauffeur, and he would use it, he'd go around town with it, he would enjoy it. And if I were to then go and get him the most beautiful landscaping that any human being ever saw, and he would enjoy it, he'd look out at his lawn and he would enjoy it. The house is the Torah of our generation. We're going to go up there, all of us who are learning, we're going to get Olam Haba for the Torah. No, for sure. The Baruch Hashem is going to give me schar for all the learning I'm doing. The card Rolls Royce is the tzedakah we're giving. We're going to get schar for the tremendous amount of tzedakah that this door gives like no other door gave before. We're going to get schar for it. The landscaping is the Midas Tovis, the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, the Shiurim, every good thing that we're doing, right? But I can't bring myself honestly to say to my father the three words he's dying to hear from me: Tati, I love you. How happy could my father be with the mansion, the Rolls Royce, the landscaping, all the bitazach, and he's using it, he's having a nod from it. Do you get what I'm saying? How happy could he be that I can't bring myself to say, Tati, I love you? So I always say, when I come up Lachem Eivestrim, people who are big madregas, I've learned a lot of Torah. I finished Shas a couple of times. This, all the, we're going to, Bonsham's going to be up there and say, you're getting schar, you're getting schar, you're getting schar. But I feel bad. Why do you feel bad, Tati? Because when you were down there, you never had a personal relationship with me. You went through your Yiddishkeit, you came out of your mother's stomach, and you were taught right, and you did everything you were supposed to do. But you didn't have, I never heard from the words, Tati, I love you. I never heard them from you. So I feel bad. Here's your schar. I said, this year Pesach, getting back to Shechinta Begalusa, I said, this year Pesach, I sat in my house, I had a roof over my head. You all had roofs over your head, right? Could have been in hotels, could have been at home, wherever you were, you had a roof over your head. Can I ask you a little question? Where was Tati Pesach? Where was Tati Pesach? You know what we say in Yiddish? He was valgen in gas. He was draining the harum somewhere. Now, I ask myself another question. Who was paying the mortgage on my roof over my head that I was enjoying Pesach? Who's paying the mortgage? The same Tati, right? Because the Tati loves us, no matter how far we are from him, no matter how much we aggravate him, he always pines for our love. I'm going to quickly end by coming back to the first question I started off with. What's the most chashuvit, happiest day by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'zman hazeh? Tisha B'Av. Do you know why? Because it's the one day a year when those of us who do it right sit down and sincerely cry, Tati, I love you. Tati, I miss you. Tati, please come home. And Hashem says, finally, I'm hearing the words I want to hear. On Shmini Atzeres, it's Hashem inviting us in because he pines for us so much. I miss you so much. Spend a little time with me, my child. Please spend a little time with me. You got what I'm saying? But on Tisha B'Av, we are initiating. We are finally doing what we're supposed to be doing and talking straight to Tati and saying, Tati, I miss you. Please come home. Can't you come home, please? This is how Tisha B'Av influenced my life for the last 10 years. To realize Shechinta Begalusa, Tati is out there with no roof. I envision a day when I'll call my little Einikel over and I'll say, David, did your Rebbe teach you what Shechinta Begalusa means? He says, yes, I did. I say, David, what does Shechinta Begalusa mean? Listen very carefully. We have a roof over our heads, but Tati Shemayim doesn't have a roof over his head. Because if the child would answer, if he'd be taught, educated to just say, Tati Shemayim is out in Golis. So you grow up thinking, Tati can take care of himself. He's a big boy, right? Tati can take care of himself. Make the comparison. We start off saying, we have a roof over our heads. Tati's paying for it. But Tati's out there with no roof over his head. Now, the truth is, I'm not being mechadish anything. David HaMelech said the same thing. He said, how does it pass that I should now have a palatial estate and the Shechina HaKadosha should be in the sub-curtains? It's a pasnisht. That's how we have to think as Yidden. It's a pasnisht. How did we forget about Tati? We're leading such a great life, we could afford to forget about Tati? We're leading such a great life. That's why I have saras like this on a Chol HaMoed Pesach. So Pesach turned into Tisha B'Av this year. That's my kesher. That's what happened on Pesach. Because Tati, there's much more to say. I'm going off my hours. Anyhow, I say Katina Kabarech Mi Beis HaSefer, like a little child, a baby. Chazal used the lashon about like a little baby runs out of the yeshiva. He wants to cut class, but when that's only because he's a little tinug. When he grows older, he looks back and he realizes, wow, it was so phenomenal that my parents gave me an education, sent me to school and forced me to go, because look what it did for me. I have a life now. The word I want to say for Rabbi Feitman was like this. Kol reitfeha hisigua ben ha-metzorim. Pasha Taich, the pasuk is, all Klal Yisrael's enemies were able to get her, right? Hisigua, they reached her, they got her. Between the boundaries, between 3 weeks. The Hasidic Rebbe's learned it like this. Kol roidef ka. Anyone who wants to chase after ka, the Rabbein Shem, the Shechina, hisigua ben ha-metzorim. The time and the opportunity to do that is right now, ben ha-metzorim. It's a phenomenal opportunity now that we should take advantage of. Instead of being like a tina ha-berech mi-beis ha-seif in the 3 weeks and saying like the way I used to say, oh man, 3 weeks out of the 8 weeks is killed. Can't do anything. Music, I love music. No, you know, now I say, wow, what a matana. 3 weeks to sit and cry that I missed the Shechina. To convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please come home. So that by the time I get to Tisha B'Av, I am really into it. And I can maximize. One last nekuda, Rav Dessler says, very beautiful, Michlam Eliyo. Famous Chazal, he says, "Ata boicha bichir shel chinam." So now you're going to cry bichir doiris, right? We understand that very poshut that that's a punishment. It's an einish, because of what happened by the Meraglim. He puts a different spin on it. He says it's the hechatimsa, how to be mesaken our emuna. It's an opportunity. Cry, cry, cry. You'll be koine emuna with those bichirs. You'll elevate yourself. You'll be able to fix the v'shachanti b'soichem inside, so that Shechina could dwell in here and break down that choyma that separates Kav Yochel from us. So let's take a try to take as much advantage now. We're only halfway through Mamash tonight. We got another 10.5 days to go. Maximize this opportunity to cry over the Shechina HaKadosha, to beg him to come back, to put an end to all these terrible sorrows. Because once we all fix the Shechanti B'Soichim in our individual hearts, no question, it will be fixed, the Shechanti B'Soichim in the Beis HaMikdash. You should be zeichet to see the Pinyin Bayis Shlishim every night soon.